That's where they're going now, to different things where teachers have prepared and are ready for them. And the rest of us here will see what God has for us this morning in this Revealed series. This is part 8 of the Revealed series, which is actually a study through the book of Ephesians. So this morning, the title is The Imitators. So what we're going to look at is chapter 5. Verses 1 through 21. We're just going to kind of walk through them. But so again, if you would pray with me one more time, then we'll dig in. God, we need you this morning, God. We don't understand a lot of things. At least I don't personally, Lord. But I do understand that I need you. And we need you to lead us this morning, God. I pray you'd help us I pray against distractions. God, open our hearts and our minds. Speak to us freshly this morning. We're here because of you, and we want to hear from you, Lord. Thank you. I just thank you ahead of time for what you're about to do. I just praise you and thank you, God. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, chapter 8. We've been rolling. There's going to be actually 10 parts to this. We have two more after this morning. But this morning we're on chapter 8, and let's just dig right in. I'm going to actually just kind of read the scripture first. We'll just read the section, all 21 verses, and then I'll come back and make some points on each little part. So, nothing else reading the scripture right now together. It's the bread of life. It's God's word. So let's pay attention. Be imitators of God, therefore. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Continues on, verse 7. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Continuing on in verse 15, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another, out of reverence for Christ. So good. So let's back up a little bit now. I'm just going to make, I think I have 5 points here this morning. We're going to kind of look at a couple verses at a time, or a few at a time. Be imitators of God, okay? This kind of sums up the whole teaching this morning. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. There it is for you. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Okay, there it is. Be imitators of God. What can happen in the epistles, oftentimes there's direction. In some of the epistles, they're actually addressing a certain problem going on in the church. And that's why Paul wrote it. That's why Paul wrote those letters. In Ephesians, we're kind of turning a corner here. Well, now he is giving us some direction. And he's telling us some of the things. The thing I want you to get this morning, what can happen is the word legalism can rear its ugly head. when we look at things and we get directives in the epistles and do this, do this, do this. The whole thing is you got to understand Paul has been hammering on his death on the cross, the grace and mercy of God. So this is all an expression because of God's grace. So we don't do these things to get closer to God. We don't have to work and do stuff to please God so he shows us more favor. He's already done that. He died on a cross for us. And our expression back to him is the things that we do as we try to imitate him. We try to become more Christ-like by his power that now lives in us as we're believers. Remember, Paul wrote this to believers, to people who have asked Jesus into their life, who believe, to you. Most of you know Christ. You have a relationship with him. And now, out of expression and obedience, we try to do what's different than what our old lives would have reflected. And all of this, we have to remember that as we look at these things. Because we can get caught up in the do this, do that type of stuff. We're wired that way. We want someone to tell us what to do. Remember, it's because of God's grace that we're even going down this road. I just think we have to remember that. And that's Paul's heart here. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Imitate the love of Christ and live a life of love. Of love. We can't do that apart from Christ. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. What is love? Here's a little illustration to you. Little illustration for you. When someone says, "I don't love you anymore," it shakes you to the very core. And this is a quote from Wayne Hudson. "It caused me to ponder the true meaning of love as never before. After many years, I arrived at the only definition that makes any sense. Since God is love, and we must compare our love to him, we come up short if we define it in any other way. For you see, in the final analysis, love is a commitment with a beginning and no end. Christ chose to love us, and he has never stopped. He never will. We should be very careful with a word like love. Are we willing to make that kind of a commitment? Christ started loving us, and he will never stop." And that's what we're to imitate as we attempt in some way to love others. Imitate the love of Christ. So good. Here's another good verse in 3 John 1:11. "Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God." Do I know God or not? Sometimes I ask, do I know God or not? You know, honestly, some days the way I act, I wonder, what is that? That sin nature can be so ugly when it reveals itself. It's another good verse. 1 John 2:10. "Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble." Whoever loves his brother lives in the light. As you love others and bring it out into the light, everything out into the light, there's nothing in him that causes him to stumble. That's good. And I think that just comes to the second section here. No secrets. Ephesians 5:3 kind of stands alone. "But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. No secrets. And I would implore you, have no secrets. If you're at a place where you have some secrets, you know, I'm not saying you get a bunch of people together and share them with them, but there ought to be at least one person in your life that you can go to, and you can a good Christian that loves Christ that you could approach and say, could you help me with this secret? Because any secrets that you carry around need to be brought out into the light so they can be dealt with. And that's hard. That's hard, isn't it? It's because we'd like to just keep our secret over here and have nobody ever see that. But you know what? We need to deal with it. And God can help deal with it. God can deal with it. So get a good Christian brother or sister and get those secrets out in the open. You know, I often use this particular verse when lots of people, I'll meet quite a few people that are living together. That's the situation. They're not married and they're just living together. And they come to church and lots of times they don't know Jesus yet. They just show up and they're trying to figure this whole thing out. And people say to me, you know, Mac, what do you think about people living together? I say, well, this verse in Ephesians says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. They say, wow, but we're in love. So what does it matter? Well, the thing is, God has a higher standard. His standard is really, really clear in the Bible. His standard is one woman and one man in a marriage covenant. That's where the expression of sex is expressed out. That love, the Eros love the Bible talks about. Between a man and a woman, that is reserved for inside a man and a woman in a marriage covenant. They made a promise before God to each other, just one man, one woman. That's the design of that, see? Well, see, actually, a man and a woman living together outside of marriage, that's not sin. That's not sin. But the world we live in, honestly, if you meet someone and say, well, we live together, what goes to your mind? Well, you probably sleep in the same bed. And most likely, you are sinning. Come on. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. You know, and in the world, it's so broken in the world that we live in. This whole thing, and I just want to paint a little picture for you of really the way I see it. This is my opinion. In the Bible, it says, do not awaken love before it's time. Hey, do not awaken love before it's time. And I'm sure that's talking about more than just Eros love, but Eros and sex, certainly that's part of it. See, between a man and a woman, that is reserved. By God's design, God has a standard that's way up here. And the world just says, oh, I can't get up to that standard. No, you can't understand. At 13, I have this desire. And so what do? Oh, we try to get together. Oh, that's so cute. You boy and girl, you got to be together. Oh, that's nice. What do you have a boyfriend yet? Are you in love yet? Why not? What's the holdup? Come on, be together. God says in His Word, not awaken love before it's time. And part of it is just that special, 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 untouched wait. Part of the whole design, God's plan is one woman, one man inside the marriage covenant. You say, well, I need to practice that love. I need to practice that Euro love. No, you don't worry. You'll
You'll know how, okay? You'll know how. You say, well, I should date. I should know all these people. I should learn how who I really like. You know what? Part of it, the gift, is not opening it till the right time. Till the right time. And it's so hard to wait. That as humans, we don't. Forget that. Forget it. I'm not waiting. I don't care what that pastor says over at the Rock. He's mixed up. Honestly, I have seen it open, the gift open up properly. And I personally didn't come to know the Lord till later in life, so I've experienced some stuff in the world. But and that's, you know, we've created Valentine's Day and, oh, you guys need to get together. Do not awaken love before it's time. Do you see that? Am I the only one that sees that? It is God's design is so good. We don't need to tamper with it. Wait. Because it's so good when it's opened up within the design, when God's within God's plan. So good. And yeah, you may be in love and you may be living together, but God's higher standard is that you're married before you step over there. And you know what? It's a lot better. It is. It's just unbelievably good within God's design. You think it's good outside of God's design? Wait till you step into God's design. And once done the way He designed it. Oh. I think we need to be really careful with that. You know, we really encourage our teenagers to be together in groups. To love the Lord. You know what? Here's a scientific fact. Okay? My good brother Phil Hahn turned me on to this fact. Our minds are not even completely developed until we're almost 20 years old. Okay? And I know some teenagers. I actually have some that live in my house. And honestly, I think, just my observation, the girls tend to mature mentally quicker and in some other ways. And the guys, maybe we're a little bit behind. At least I sure was. A scientific fact is your mind isn't even fully developed. You can't even handle the emotions. I'm 50 years old and I have a hard time in my marriage and figuring it out. 51. See, that whole emotional thing, man, woman, love, euros, covenant, woo! Don't step into that outside of the marriage covenant. You're not ready. You're not ready. Now you need to think about it. You know what? You know what you need to do? Teenager, single person, you need to develop your relationship with God. That love affair with God. Your relationship with God. Because you're going to need it. You're going to need it to fall back on. You're going to need it. You believe me? You're going to need to have a strong walk with the Lord. It was a little bit of a tangent, but I couldn't help it. Let's move on. Here's some more verses to support that. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. There's so many verses we go to. Just simply say, put to death that old life and walk in the new. Put to death all that yuck. Just get it out of your life. And walk in the new life that Christ has given you. Let's move on. Give thanks. Janice, you referred to this morning. You know, as Christians, the more and more I'm around mature Christians and I meet mature Christians and I aspire to be like mature Christians, there's one thing you might notice is they're always thanking God. There's a position before God. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you know, that's really great what you did. Oh, well, thank God for that, because God really did that. God's doing that. God's doing that in my life. Yeah, you know what? All these hard things, God's even doing those, and they're good for me. Just thanking God. Give thanks to God in your prayers. Thank God. Give Him the credit, because you know what? He's in charge. He is God. He's merciful and gracious. He loves you, and He has the best in mind for you. Thank Him. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you.
So let's read 4 through 6. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. You know, some of these verses, you know, are pretty cut and dried. No obscenity, no foolish talk or coarse joking. I meet people all the time have potty mouths and tell coarse jokes. I see it all the time. It's kind of part of the world. It's just, it is. I don't know. We really, that's our bent. We go towards that. I used to swear like a longshoreman. God has blessed me and helped me, and He's really freed me from that. I don't need to. I don't want to. It's before me and God. I don't want to talk like that in front of God. He deserves better. He's worthy of a change in my life, of me walking another way. And He's helped me with that. I didn't just do it myself. Stop swearing, going from a world of swearing every day to not. It took a little while. But God helped me with that. Why? Because I love Him and I want the best for Him. So I want my life to look different before my God. I represent Him now. I want others to see that. And oftentimes I used to work in construction. And as a Christian, I remember thinking, oh, that poor guy is lost. He doesn't know the Lord. Listen to him. To me now, I look at that as like, oh, that's a wounded animal. That's like a cry of a wounded animal. They're in a trap. I want to help them get out of that when I meet people. And it doesn't take long to realize, you probably don't know the Lord, huh? The way you're talking to me, and you know what, that joke, that's funny for you, but I don't want to hear it. But to me, it's like, oh, he needs to know Jesus. She does. I want to help you know the Lord. There's better for you out there. But really, kind of instruction again. You know, you can say, oh, that's and there's that word. You could say, oh, that's legalism. Just what's wrong with a little bit of a nasty joke? Well, I love God, and I want better for me and for you. Give thanks. Be in a position of thanks. I like this verse in Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let other people see your life. Let them hear you thank God for everything. Let them hear you. Thank God. Thank you, God, for everything that you've done for me. It's a good position, you know. I think really as Christians where we belong probably is on our face or on our knees before the Lord. I'm different now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. You brought all my yuck out into the light and you're working on it. Praise you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Live as children of light. Let's read these verses 7 through 14. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. There it is again. Imitate Christ. Imitate Christ. Live as children of light. Live as children of light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light. It's light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Again, like I talked before, do not be partners with them. And that's people that don't know Christ, people that are still living in the dark. For it is the light, and that's Christ, that makes everything visible. Maybe you can kind of look at it like this. Maybe this could be a little visual for you. If you're to walk down a city street at night, and I walked down quite a few in my day, a city, and in some really rough parts of town in different parts of the world. But you're walking down the city streets, and you're usually pretty safe when it's all lit up. And it's all kinds of light. You're feeling, oh, that's all right. Nobody's going to do anything, beat me up or anything out here in the middle of the light and where other people are at. But every once in a while, you go by a dark alley and you look down it. I'm not going down there. There was a day that I would, but now I go by and I go, ah, don't go down that dark alley. I don't know. Be in the light. Live as children of the light. Be with God's people. There's protection in that. And what we'll do oftentimes is we'll find ourselves running with the wrong crowd. And even people who are just stepping from death to life, who just get saved or kind of young in their walk, you know, they still have all these group of people that they've been running with that are lost. And it's hard to just let those friends go. It really is. But it's like walking down the street in the light when you're with God's people. But when you're not, it's like going down one of those alleys. You're going without Christ. You're going without the light, going in the dark. Places and things that can harm you. A good verse in 1 Corinthians is, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It's not that we just forget about those people, but once you come to know the Lord, you got to be careful. There has to be a balance. You need to be with God's people. Invite them into that. Especially you young believers, if you end up back over there without the light, you can be sucked right back in there. It's just a matter of, you got to be wise. If you want to stop sinning, then you stop hanging out where the sin is happening. I really pretty cut and dried if you think about it. Look at this. The fruit of the Spirit is really what Paul is talking about here. Hang out with people that you see fruit in their life. And you can see it or not. And here are the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. You know, I'm just simply saying, you know what? Be careful who you're hanging with. And a good litmus test or a good thing to look for is fruits of the Spirit. You know, I want to hang out with people that I can learn and grow with. When you find out you're hanging with people that don't display fruits of the Spirit, do you think that you're going to? I get sucked right back into that. We do. You see it all the time. Live as children of the light. Be in the light. Be with God's people. Be in God's Word. Be in prayer. There's a protection in all of that. That's by God's design. God's body, you see, is us, the believers. It's the body of Christ. And together, just like in communion today, we look to the head, which is Christ. We need Him. We need each other to keep our eyes on Christ. You know, and when you're on your own, that's a precarious place to be. In Proverbs 18:1 says, "What does it say? He who separates himself quarrels against all sound wisdom." You find yourself by yourself doing stuff all the time. You're quarreling against all sound wisdom. Be with God's people. That's by God's design. There's protection for you. I've been learning that so much lately for myself. I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. There's such refuge and protection and life in the body. People help me when I need help. when I'm in the body of Christ. So outside of it, nobody even knows I need help. That is a shame. I had a really good friend who's going through something really hard right now. And at one point, he was walking strong with the Lord. And I used to prayer walk with him all the time. And he told me this hard thing's happening. And I said, well, who are you, you know, who's your brothers? Who's your band of brothers? Who are you with? Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. There's probably nobody to help you, huh? Oh, I'm sorry. That happens all the time. I see it all the time. We need to be in a body of believers. We all do. We need that protection. In reverence for Christ. Point five. Let's look at these last few verses. Be very careful then how you live. Maybe I should say that a time or two. Be very careful then how you live. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God. There it is again. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I love the thought of reverence. And Paul's basically saying, do what you do out of love and respect for Jesus. Out of love and respect for God. Do what you do. That's what fear of the Lord is. It's just recognizing that God is holy. He's sovereign. He's over all of this. He deserves our reverence and respect in a life that's lived out different than it used to be when we were in the dark. Reverence and awe is what God deserves. I want to grow in that. Here's a good verse in Hebrews. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, I love that part, cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably in reverence and awe. You know, I think a lot of the rock music. Here's one more music verse I want to share with you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. There it is again, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. One of the things that I really love what's happened in here in Utah is we have all these musicians that God has blessed us with, and we call it TRM, the rock music. And there's probably 70, maybe 80 musicians now that are involved in that. And it's just a beautiful thing, writing their own songs like your song this morning. That's just beautiful, Janice. But that, you know what that is? That's her heart. That's, you know, you buy any of our CDs and it's people writing songs and it's their prayer. It's their reverence to God. And that's why we sing songs before church at the Rock here. It's just kind of to get our hearts positioned before the Lord. It's just really, you know what? Because we come in here and everybody's all over the place, me included. And we start singing and it's like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. It's, oh God, I want to sing to you too. I want to sing to you. Come on, let's all sing together. And that's what then we're singing. It's just good and right. Yesterday we had a GCLI, a leadership time up in Sandy, and the three churches, the rock churches, came together. And we started singing together. I just started weeping. It was just so good to be with my brothers and sisters that I've labored with, that I've suffered with. And singing together to God, to Jesus, and everything just lined up. It's, oh, yes, this is good and right to be together and to be singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs to God. I love that about our church. And at the end of here today, we'll sing a couple more songs. That's to position ourselves to really think. We've just been taught by God's Word. This is God's Word that you heard this morning. Ingest it. Meditate on it. Sing to the Lord about it. That's why we sing songs together. God's done something really special there. There's really something about music that God really uses in our lives for us to worship Him. It's such a beautiful thing. I got one quote that I'll leave you with here at the end, and I'll say a prayer, and then we will sing some more of those songs. I feel like just stopping right now and singing, but we will here in a minute. Okay, this is from A.W. Tozer. He's one of my heroes of the faith, and I love this quote. Important as it is that we recognize God working in us, I would yet warn against an over preoccupation with the thought. It is a sure road to sterile passivity. God will not hold us responsible to understand the mysteries of election, predestination, and the divine sovereignty. I have a hard time with that word. The best and safest way to deal with these truths is to raise our eyes to God and in deepest reverence say, O Lord, Thou knowest. Those things belong to the deep and mysterious profound of God's omniscience. Prying into them may make theologians, but it'll never make saints. Now, don't get me wrong. It's important to study God's Word, and I want you to. Oftentimes, knowledge can puff up, too. And we have to remember, there's an omniscient God over all of this. Who's in charge? And a lot of these things, we're just going to have to agree to not understand. And that's hard, especially for a lot of the brainiacs out there, and I'm not one. But that's hard, because you want to dig in and understand it. And that's important, definitely. But don't get caught up into that so much that it takes you away from Christ. And living a light, as a light, and imitating Christ. Your life, imitating Christ. All of us, me included, we need to do more than just know it. I know these verses. I know the Bible. I've memorized them. That's good and that's important. But then there's a step of obedience. Walk in faith. Really do what's taught. Really obey God's Word. That's where the rubber meets the road. Living it out. And we need each other together to do that. So that's this morning's section. Next week, the title will be The Family. And again, I invite you to read chapter 5, verses 22. The rest of chapter 5, all the way to chapter 6, verse 9. So next week, we'll talk about the family and that section of Ephesians in part 9. It's good to read God's Word together, huh? So let's just pray. Let me finish out here and we'll sing a couple more songs. God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the book of Ephesians, Lord, and just how rich it is, Lord. And we want to. We do. I think the desire of our heart, God, is to obey You. We want to exercise faith. We want to step in what You tell us to do. We need Your help in all that. Honestly, God, as Your children, we just need Your help. Pray You'd help us even going away this morning to really implement some of the truths that You've taught us, Father God. We need You. And now we do. Together we just want to sing to You a little bit more because You're just so worthy. It just seems so right when we're praying and singing to You, God. You deserve it. We love You. We thank You for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's sing a couple more songs together.